Going to read together some words from the Bible, and these words are fantastic words because they come as such a surprise. See, Jesus' disciples have seen Jesus being crucified and placed in a tomb, and then we read Luke chapter 24 and verse 1 through to verse 12. Just fantastic words. So let's read these. If you want, you can follow it on the screen, but also there are Bibles in the pews around about where your knees are. So if you want to follow along, you can do. Luke 24, begin to read at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Amen. Over the last few weeks in church, we've been looking at the book of Luke. We've not looked at everything in Luke. You might remember quite a few weeks ago we had an all-age service and we were thinking about eyewitnesses and eyewitness accounts. Well, upstairs, we've been looking at some of the eyewitness accounts and some of the different things that we've seen in the book of Luke, and today we are looking at a crucial piece of evidence to the fact that Jesus is real and alive, and it's the evidence of a missing body. There was a Christian from many years ago called Martin Luther who said this: "Our Lord has written the promise of the resurrection not in words alone, but in every leaf in springtime." So you'll know in autumn all the leaves fall off the trees, but then in spring, everything comes back to life again. And what Martin Luther was saying is that's really pointing us to the fact that Jesus died, but also rose again. There are many different religions, many different ways that people say you can be right with God. But all those religions have something in common. They all can take you to a key person or can take you to an influential figure, but all their key figures have graves. They have tombs. They're still dead. But Christianity is totally and utterly distinct because we have a Savior, we have a teacher, we have a great man who's also God who isn't in the tomb anymore. He has risen from the dead. So this morning, we're going to look at this crucial evidence of a missing body. No serious historian would doubt that Jesus lived on planet Earth. I mean, what year is it? It's year 2014, the year of our Lord. No serious historian would doubt that Jesus died on a cross. So what all skeptics have to do, the big question they have to answer is this: where is Jesus' body? Because the eyewitness accounts tell us that when the disciples went to the tomb, Jesus' body was no longer there. The body of Jesus was gone. And what we're going to do this morning is look at some different theories that people have come up with to say, what happened to Jesus' body? So this is the first one. This is called the swoon theory. What does that mean? Well, some people say the best way to explain where Jesus' body has gone is this: Jesus, after being flogged and crucified, wasn't actually dead. Everyone looked at him on the cross and thought he was dead, but he wasn't actually dead. So they took him off the cross and placed him in a tomb and rolled the stone in front of the tomb. But then on the third day, Jesus didn't rise again. No, Jesus just woke up. And he wasn't actually dead, and he rolled the stone away and went to see his disciples. Now, is that a plausible, is that a reasonable thing to think that happened to Jesus' body? No, there are so many problems with that theory. It's untrue. Let's think about some of them. The first thing is this. There were guards placed near the tomb. So if Jesus was still alive, he would have to overpower the guards. Now remember, Jesus has been flogged. Some people didn't even survive that. Jesus has carried his own cross but didn't have the physical strength to do that. He's then being crucified. He's then had a spear placed in his side. Even if Jesus was alive and healthy, it would be difficult for a person to overpower the guards. That doesn't seem to stack up. But also, there's the problem of a great big stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. So Jesus' body was placed inside a tomb with a large stone sealing the entrance. This is what some archaeologists have said. There was a slanted groove that led down to a low entrance, and a large disc-shaped stone was rolled down this groove and lodged into place across the door. A smaller stone was then used to secure the disc. Although it would have been relatively easy to roll this big stone down the groove, it would take several men to roll the stone back up in order to reopen the tomb. So it would take several men to move the stone, and they're healthy men. If Jesus has been crucified but wasn't actually dead, there is no way that he on his own would have been able to roll the stone away. But the swoon theory has even bigger problems. Because on one of the eyewitnesses' accounts in the book of John, we read that one of the soldiers, who was used to seeing dead bodies, looked at Jesus and said, this man was dead, but just to make sure, they took a spear and they pierced Jesus' side. And John points out something very interesting. When the spear pierced the side of Jesus, blood alone didn't come out, but blood and water. What does that mean? Well, I've spoken to a doctor about this. And when your heart is under immense pressure, when you're approaching the end of your life, it starts to pump really, really fast. And as a result, it becomes inefficient. And the water out of the blood begins to separate and begins to seep into easy spaces around the lungs and around the heart. Now, medical doctors can actually drain that off, that fluid off people. But the fact when the centurion pierces Jesus' side with the spear and blood and water comes out means that the centurion has most certainly pierced one of those easy spaces around the lung and also the heart. And the fact that blood comes out means also one of Jesus' major vessels, probably his heart, was also damaged. So in other words, this isn't a graze. This isn't a little scratch that the soldier's done. This spear has gone a long way in. If Jesus wasn't dead before that, although the eyewitnesses say he was, that spear would have certainly made sure that Jesus was actually dead. The swoon theory has so many problems. And think about it. If Jesus did just wake up, manage to move the stone and overpower the guards, why would the disciples be willing to give their life for a man who looks like he's just been in a serious amount of pain? They wouldn't. Jesus would be in such a bad state. There is no way that they would think he had conquered death. So that's one theory. Second theory, this has been going around a few centuries ago, but I've changed the name of it to oops, we didn't have Google Maps theory. Now, for those of you who plan journeys nowadays, I read somewhere someone said, what did they used to do before Google Maps? And somebody said, they used maps. And he said, no, before Google Maps, people just think that's the only map that exists now. But there are actually hard copies of maps that you can look at. But what does this theory say? This theory says that on the very first day of the week, when the disciples went to the tomb, they went to the wrong one. They forgot which one it was, and went to the wrong tomb. And when they got there, obviously it was empty because they went to the wrong tomb. And they decided to go around telling everyone Jesus was alive, but actually they'd just gone to the wrong tomb. How about this theory? Does that stack up? Is that a possibility of what could have happened that first Easter? Again, there are so many problems with this theory. Just think about it. The religious leaders didn't want this message of Jesus to spread. They didn't want the apostles and the disciples going around telling everyone that Jesus was alive. What would the easiest thing be to do if they'd gone to the wrong grave? Well, the religious leaders could have just said, Jesus isn't alive, we've got his body here. They went to the wrong tomb. But no one did that because Jesus' body wasn't there. So that's, oops, we didn't have Google Maps theory. Last one before we look at another one that I don't believe is a theory. This is the body snatchers theory. So theory number three, the body snatchers theory. And this theory goes like this. The disciples decided to steal the body and then go around and tell everybody that Jesus has risen from the dead. What are the problems with this theory? Well, one problem is, why would the disciples even do that? They followed Jesus for 3 years. They've seen him do amazing miracles. But then he was arrested. They all abandoned him. Why? They were scared that what happened to Jesus would also happen to them. Now Jesus has been crucified. What were they thinking? They were scared. They didn't know what to do next. They wouldn't start telling people he was alive if he wasn't, because if they did, the same might happen to them. Secondly, even if they had done that, what about the guards around the tomb? Now, we know that the Jewish authorities started a rumor that the guards had fallen to sleep, and while they were asleep, the disciples stole the body. Is that possible? Well, Roman soldiers, if they did not carry out their duties, their life was forfeit. There is no way a Roman soldier would fall asleep and allow someone to steal a body, because otherwise their life was forfeit. Also, did you notice the detail that we read in verse 12? When Peter went into the tomb, he saw strips of linen on the floor. Why would a body snatcher take the time to unravel the body before taking the body out of a tomb? They wouldn't. They'd take the whole thing. So that doesn't seem to make sense either. Last one. Jesus actually rose from the dead. The reason the tomb was empty was because Jesus was alive. None of those other theories stack up. But this, Jesus being alive, risen from the dead, is the most logical conclusion. Why do I say that? Well, we've got lots of evidence. The first piece of evidence is the fact that the tomb was empty. The second piece of evidence is that right through Jesus' life, he proved himself to be God. He did miraculous things, and he told everyone, he predicted accurately that he was going to be crucified, and also he told everyone he was also going to rise again. And thirdly, and perhaps most crucially, there are eyewitnesses that saw Jesus alive. This is amazing. Jesus didn't just rise again and then disappear. He appeared to his followers. He appeared to eyewitnesses. And there are many accounts of Jesus showing himself alive to different people. Sometimes he met people individually. Sometimes he met them in a group. Sometimes he met them indoors. Sometimes he met them outdoors. Sometimes he met soft-hearted people. And other times he met people who were skeptics and doubted. People could touch Jesus. He ate with them. He appeared over several weeks. On one occasion, he met with 500 people all at once. And all these eyewitnesses were willing to say, we've met with Jesus. More than that, they were willing to die for the fact that they had met with Jesus. More about that for those of you that can come tonight. So my question to you is, which theory do you think holds the most water? There are obvious holes in the first one. There are obvious holes in the second one and the third one. The fourth one is the only possibility that we have, that Jesus is alive and well. But what does that mean for me. Many weeks ago, several weeks ago, we looked at one of the very first promises or prophecies in the Bible. And one of the first promises in the Bible, God said that if we rebel against him, we will die. And that's what mankind did. We rebelled against God. And right through the centuries, we keep rebelling against God. As a result, we all face death, followed by eternal death. That's something all of us has to face one day. But good news, Jesus died and rose again. So like that song we sang at the very beginning says, death is dead. Jesus has defeated death. We can look at the evidence of the empty tomb and see that Jesus is alive. And if we believe him, if we join Team Jesus, if we're in God's kingdom, then death is no longer something we need to be afraid of. Because it's not the end for us. The Bible teaches us that for those who follow him, we look forward to spending all eternity with Jesus. Does that mean sat on a cloud playing a harp? Does it mean an eternal church service? What does it mean? One of my favourite verses in the Bible speaks of how in the coming ages, God is going to show us the incomparable riches of his grace. God's grace, that word simply means his goodness, his undeserved favour. And for all eternity, he will lavish that on us. That's a place I want to be. I want to be in a place in the presence of God where he's pouring out all his goodness and delight on me. Now, there's a funny story. I don't know if I've told this one before or not. It's a made-up story about a man who wanted to take something to heaven with him. And he had his suitcase, and he turned up at the gates of heaven, and he was stopped by a couple of angels. I'm pretty sure it doesn't work like this, but he was stopped by a couple of angels with his suitcase, and they said, sorry, you can't bring anything into heaven with you. And he said, oh, please, go on, just me. So he said, oh, go on then, just you, just show us what you've got. And he opened his suitcase with a big smile on his face. And there it was, loads and loads of gold. He was made up. He brought all this gold with him. And they started laughing. And he said, what's so funny? And they said, all you've brought is a piece of pavement. See, in the Bible, it talks about there being streets of gold. And I think the point is, what we class as being valuable is just what we walk on in heaven. That's how great a place it is. Is that a place that you're going to dwell? That place like the junior church so well explained to us, a place with no tears, a place with no pain, a place with no separation, a place with no death, no sin, a place where God is. But also Jesus being alive also teaches us something else. You might say, where is Jesus now? If he's defeated death, why is he not here? Why can't we go and see him? Well, Jesus said it was good for him to leave and go back to heaven because then he could send his spirit. And even though Jesus isn't here in bodily form this morning, he's here by his spirit's presence. What does that mean? Well, that simply means when you feel in your heart like what's being said is more than just words, it comes with a force. That's God's spirit speaking to your heart. That's God's Spirit affirming that what you're hearing is true. God's Spirit comes to point us to Jesus, to make sure that we don't reject him and ignore the possibility to be with him for all eternity. And we're confident that Jesus is at work in our church because he rose from the dead and returned to heaven and sent his Spirit. And I wonder this morning, if God is speaking to your heart. I wonder maybe if you've not yet accepted Jesus as your Saviour. If you've not said, my way is wrong, it's because of my sin why Jesus died, but God's way is right, and I want to make a commitment to follow him. If that's you this morning, I've got a really nice little booklet. It's simply called The Remedy, and this very, very well just talks through what it means to be a Christian. It talks about the beginning, then the rebellion, the consequence of that rebellion, the remedy, and then our response. And if you would like one of these, I'm going to be around at the front after this service. Please come and just ask for one. I'll be more than happy to give that to you, and then you can go. Or if you want to talk with me, I'm more than happy to do that as well. But if you've just got some questions, or maybe you've just felt in your heart God's Spirit speaking to you, then don't give up the opportunity this Easter morning of finding out that Jesus is alive and he wants a relationship with you.